Hey, Truth Seekers. Good evening. Welcome to Friday. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. We have all sorts of fun and frivolity planned for you tonight, including coming up at the bottom of this first hour when we come back from the break, one of our infrequent Uncle Mike Story Corners. We haven't done an Uncle Mike Story Corner for a long time. Why is that, Catherine? You're the executive producer. You have any idea?
I guess because everything is so outrageous these days, it's hard to parcel down to just one or two.
Oh, wait till you hear Uncle Mike's Story Corner this evening. Wah! Hey, everybody. Hope you had a good week. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. We have a short week next week, which I always love. Wednesday's the 4th of July? Is that it? The 4th? So we work Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday. Oh! I love four-day work weeks. I'm sorry, I can't help it. It goes back to the days when I worked in the factory. You know, I can't stand constantly, being browbeat by the foreman. So it's nice to have a day off. What do we do on the 4th of July? Nothing?
Well, the parts of Georgia that aren't on fire, I think, are having a few selected fireworks displays with hoses positioned carefully around, so we might get to see a sparkler or something, because most of them have been canceled.
Uh-huh. Email here from Wendy in Seattle. Mike, I listen to a lot of progressive radio and the occasional conservative who calls in. They typically say how the media and D.C. are really controlled by the left, disregarding all evidence to the contrary. If I had a chance, I'd ask some questions that don't get thrown back at them enough. One, what are five positive things that Bush has accomplished since being in office? And one of them cannot be he made America safer, because there is no way to measure that. Two, let's imagine that the right overwhelmingly controlled the House and the Senate. And then what? Abortion was outlawed, gays couldn't marry. What other things would you expect from the Congress? More tax breaks for the rich? More contracts for Halliburton? The complete destruction of unions? More jobs shipped overseas? Worse treatment of veterans? Eavesdropping on every American? Because that's the kind of stuff you have to look forward to. I cannot fathom what else these idiots expect from the neocons. Time to wake up, righties. You are not and never will be part of the elite. Voting Republican gets you nothing but a reputation for stupidity. Wendy in Seattle. Thanks, Wendy. Speaking of the state of Washington, Jim McDermott, Democrat, Representative Jim McDermott, told Vice President Dick Cheney to resign or face impeachment last night. Three more House Democrats let their support to a plan to impeach the Vice President. And I think that's wonderful. Let it build. What is it? Up to 11. 11 members of the U.S. House now are demanding that Cheney either resign, get the hell out of town, or face impeachment. Too bad one of those 11 is not Nancy Pelosi. But keep going, guys. McDermott said in a floor speech, quote, the vice president holds himself above the law, and it's time for Congress to enforce the law. For the good of the nation, the vice president should leave office immediately, end quote. Can you imagine, first of all, how the stench in this country would disappear if this rat bastard would go away? And secondly, can you imagine how Dick Cheney absolutely will never leave office? He may not leave office in January 2009. We don't know yet. Anyway, McDermott is one of three House Democrats to come out in favor of impeachment Thursday. Just this past Thursday, Representatives Keith Ellison from Minnesota, Hank Johnson from Georgia. Hank took the place of Cynthia McKinney here. Including those three lawmakers, seven members in June have shown their support for impeaching Cheney. That's 10, and there's an 11th, I think. McDermott, of course, cited Cheney's refusal to cooperate with the ISOO That's the Information Security Oversight Office, which oversees the handling of classified documents by executive agencies, like the names of covert CIA agents, right? You know, when they, being the authorities, whoever they are, the authorities may turn out to be you and me. You know, it may come to that. If we, the authorities, ever do get a chance to pry open the little hidden dark spaces in Dick Cheney's office, I think we are going to be shocked at what we find. This guy has done more criminal acts probably than anyone ever in the office of the vice presidency, maybe anyone ever in office. I mean in magnitude. I'm not saying more individual crimes. He might have only committed 10 crimes, but those 10 crimes are probably so monumental they would equal 1,000 of my crimes or your crimes, right? Is he Catholic? Does he believe in venial sins and mortal sins? No? You don't know? What is he, Episcopalian? McDermott went on to say, quote, when a sitting vice president claims that he is not part of the executive branch of government to which he was elected, it's time to remove him from office, end quote. McDermott, oh, by the way, was ripped a new one by phony-ass, cowardly conservatives when McDermott opposed the Iraq War, and McDermott says he anticipates a barrage of attacks in response to his support for impeachment. Sure, well, you know, that's what Republicans do. They're like a herd, a massive colony of cockroaches. They're just vile. McDermott said, quote, the intent of this administration and this vice president has been to silence all dissent. Fear is what keeps this administration kept this administration in office in 2004, and fear is the only public discourse this administration understands and practices. The articles of impeachment, of course, were introduced by Dennis Kucinich in April and have garnered support from 10 House co-sponsors. So I guess it's Kucinich in 10. That would be the 11. I think that's how it works. Resign or face impeachment. I'd love the sound of that. Come on, Jim, back it up. 10 or 11 House members now, on the record, saying to me, Cheney, get out of town. I wonder how long Ms. Pelosi can ignore members of her own caucus. Yeah, well, we'll see. This ruling yesterday on the resegregation of America has really gotten inside my head and just eating a hole in my brain. As the Times points out today in an editorial, since the mid-50s, the Supreme Court has been this country's driving force for integration. Had there not been certain rulings, and you know this as well as I do, I'm not saying we would still be holding slaves. There was the Emancipation Proclamation, we being white people, or people who look like they're white, although I've never met a true white person, not even folks who are dealing with, what's the proper word for albinoism? I know that's not an acceptable word, but anyway, I've never met a white person. I never have. And it staggers me every time I try to think of Phil Otaigo. Huh? Open your mic and say it. I don't know.
Michael Jackson claims, I think it's pronounced Villatigo.
Villatigo? Oh, okay. But I can't believe in this country that because Barack Obama has a white and a black parent, he's automatically a black man. And same with Tiger Woods, white and a black parent. Well, Tiger Woods has a black parent and an Asian parent. Automatically a colored man. You know, that kind of stuff drives me crazy. But anyway, the Supreme Court has been the only agency capable of enforcing laws passed by the Congress, saying, well, no, they're not unconstitutional to say schools should be equal and not separate. That's not unconstitutional. That's just the way it is. Governors, senators, mobs in the history of this country talked of massive resistance when the Supreme Court ordered segregated buses in public buildings and parks and playgrounds to open up to all Americans. When cases were brought that said, look, this is unconstitutional. There is not a second class of citizen in this country. It was ended with the Emancipation Proclamation. So the court, though, never wavered. Even in the face of people like George Wallace or the Klan or lynching, never wavered. And in many of these important cases, it spoke unanimously. That's all gone, isn't it? We'll be right back.
You, that's why I'm marching. Yes, I'm marching. Marching down freedom's road.
Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road. Ought to be plain as the nose on your face, there's room in this land for every race. Some folk think that freedom just ain't right. Those are the very people I want to fight. That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching, marching down freedom's road.
Spirits are uplifted any time we go to a school that's working.
Well, good. Glad to hear that.
School is working.
So, anyway, in so many cases regarding a segregated society, the U.S. Supreme Court over the years, usually the voices of opinion in the important cases unanimously, and sometimes, 7-2, 8-1, because it was very clear. Even to what used to be referred to as conservatives, it was very clear that apartheid just was not a viable way to run this country. It just wasn't. It just wasn't. We are a mixed society. We are a stew pot, if certainly not a melting pot, but a stew. Well, it may become a melting pot. It's certainly a stew pot, and there was no way to. Deny the Irish or the Italians or the Catholics or the Jews or people of African descent or anybody an equal shot. Of course, that looks good on paper, but it was never really carried out in the real world where it concerned our dusky brethren. Anyway, after all that work about public buildings and parks and playgrounds and schools and equal accommodations and even affirmative action, which I always thought was a damn good idea when you spend the first 350 years of your history on a continent being a slave, and then all of a sudden the chains and shackles are removed and they say, okay, go! and you're supposed to say, well, what am I supposed to do?
Well, here, we promised you 40 acres and a mule.
Well, where is it?
That's just a promise, boy.
I always thought affirmative action was a pretty good idea. But anyway, the Supreme Court now is moving in reverse, of course, ordering the public schools to become more segregated. Even these were voluntary programs in Louisville and Seattle. Voluntary programs. Nobody ordered it. It didn't come through a court order. Did not come through a court order. Voluntary effort of the public school systems in these two cities to say, look, we've got to try to do something here. The Supreme Court has often ordered schools, according to the Times, to use race-conscious remedies and has held and is unanimously held that deciding to make assignments in school based on race, quote, to prepare students to live in a pluralistic society is, quote, within the broad discretionary powers of school authorities. Now this activist court, hey, you right-wing sapsuckers, talking about activist courts, what about this one? And John Roberts, who assured the Senate at his confirmation hearings that he respected precedent, and particularly Brown versus Board of Education, all of a sudden John Roberts just turned out to be the liar that most of us knew he was. Most of us were not in the Senate. As the Times goes on, the right wing of the court, which is damn near all of it soon, also tossed aside two other principles that the court claims, the Republicans, I should say, the right wingers claim they hold dear. Federalism, which means scaling back federal power so states and localities have more authority. Right, they sure did that, right? Huh? That's exactly what Seattle and Louisville were trying to do. States and localities exercising their authority, trying to solve an intractable problem.
No, you won't do it.
The Republicans move in and say no. And judicial activism? right? How many times have you heard these right-wing dung eaters talk about, well, you know, liberals on the court, judicial activism, they're an activist court. How many times have you heard that? What the hell was this? This was the height of activism. Oh, well. This resegregation is likely to get appreciably worse as a result of the court's ruling, the Times says. In dissent, Justice John Paul Stevens said it was his firm conviction that no member of the court that he joined in 1975 would have agreed with yesterday's decision. None of them. Stevens went on to say he noted the cruel irony of the court relying on Brown versus Board of Education while robbing that ruling of much of its force and spirit. Not to mention its decency and honor. And the Times closes with this sentence, which at first I thought they were busting up on the citizens of Seattle and Louisville, but I guess not. The sentence says, the citizens of Louisville and Seattle and the rest of the nation can ponder the majority's kind words about Brown as they get to work today, making their schools and their cities more segregated. We'll be back after the break with Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Stick around. It's a hellraiser.
Hey, you know something, people? I'm not black, but there's a whole lot of times I wish I could say I'm not white. But I've seen the fires burning and the local people turning for the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops. And every other household item, watch a mob just turn and bite them. And they say it served them right, because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination.
Because life's too short to listen to right-wing radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. Our research department got to work here and immediately slapped something down here on my desk, so I better correct this. Just for purity's sake, the Emancipation Proclamation that Lincoln issued on January 1st, 1863, as the nation approached its third year of bloody civil war, declared, quote, that all persons held as slaves within the rebellious states are, and henceforward, free, end quote. Now, despite this expansive wording, the Emancipation Proclamation was limited in many ways. It applied only to states that had seceded from the Union, leaving slavery untouched in the loyal border states. It also expressly exempted parts of the Confederacy that had already come under Northern control. Most important, the freedom it promised depended upon Union military victory. Thank God we have such an astute and well-qualified research department. We need to make sure that she gets a raise, Kathy. All right? You write that down? I see your writing. I think it's time for another episode of Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Well, good evening, children. Everybody all comfy? Got your jammies on, gathered around? Huh? Want to hear Uncle Mike's Story Corner tonight? Did you have a good day? Huh? Did you have a popsicle or something? Oh, good, good. Well, all right. Listen up, everybody. Tonight's story is by Robert Lucetich, who is the Los Angeles correspondent for The Australian. That's a newspaper in a country way, way far away. Can you say Australia? That's good. That's good. Here is Robert's story. Easily lost on page 425 in the mass of the CIA's notorious Family Jewels files is a short paragraph outlining, quote, potentially embarrassing agency activities, end quote. Quote, experiments in influencing human behavior through the administration of mind or personality altering drugs to unwitting subjects, end quote. Of all the heinous acts committed by the CIA in the name of national security, these experiments done on the agency's behalf by prominent psychiatrists on innocent victims, including children as young as 4, may be the darkest. Former director Richard Helms infamously said, when asked about the nature of the projects, "We have no answer to the moral issue." The release of the Family Jewels documents revealed the CIA handsomely funded these real-life Dr. Strangeloves and engaged pharmaceutical companies to help its experiments. The agency appealed to Big Pharma to pass on any drugs that could not be marketed because of unfavorable side effects to be tested on mice and monkeys. Any drugs that passed muster would then be used, according to an internal memo, on volunteer U.S. soldiers. The Family Jewels files do not provide further detail into the numerous mind control programs such as MKUltra, covertly propped up by the agency. In 1953, MKUltra was given 6% of the total CIA budget without any oversight. It makes Uncle Mike wonder about those volunteer U.S. soldiers, huh? Only the tip of a large iceberg had been previously released by the CIA under Freedom of Information Act provisions. The nature of the experiments, gathered from government documents and testimony in numerous lawsuits brought against the CIA, is shocking, from testing LSD on children to implanting electrodes in victims' brains to deliberately poisoning people with uranium. Makes Uncle Mike wonder about the deliberate poisoning we are perpetrating against people now with something, now listen up children, cutely referred to as depleted uranium. Makes you think it's inert. That's a big word, isn't it? Inert? Carol Rutz, one of the victims, wrote of her experiences, quote, "The CIA bought my services from my grandfather in 1952, starting at the tender age of 4. Over the next 12 years, I was tested, trained, and used in various ways. Electroshock, drugs, hypnosis, sensory deprivation, and other types of trauma were used to make me complain and split my personality to create multiple personalities for specific tasks. Each alter or personality was created to respond to a post-hypnotic trigger, then perform an act, and I would not remember it later. The Manchurian Candidate program was just one of the operational uses of the mind control scenario by the CIA, Carol writes. Your hard-earned tax dollars funded this. End quote. The U.S. began these experiments, of course, after World War II, when it made a grab for hundreds of Nazi scientists and doctors. Ooh, we want them! Who had been researching mind control in concentration camps. That's a euphemism, children, for death camps. Do you know what a euphemism is? No, it's not just something made up by the Nazis, but close. The Americans felt that all these Nazi scientist experiments would fall into Soviet hands. Ooh! U.S. military intelligence leaders were paranoid that they were falling behind the communist bloc in the brainwashing race. Do you know what brainwashing means? No. It's not like washing your hands, but sort of. The programs, though carefully hidden, continued into the 1970s, when CIA Director Helms ordered much of the documentation to be destroyed. Some believe the CIA completed its goal initially outlined in the early 1950s of altering personalities and having someone, quote, perform an action contrary to an individual's basic moral principles, end quote. The attorney, for example, for Sirhan Sirhan, Lawrence Teeter, has said his client was programmed to assassinate Robert Kennedy in 1968. Now, children, isn't that funny? That sounds like a very creative lawyer, don't you think? Yeah. Theodore Kaczynski, the Unabomber, volunteered to take part in CIA mind control experiments when he was a student at Harvard University in the late 50s. So what do you think, children? Do you think that our glorious, wonderful CIA would have altered the minds of 4-year-olds? I just love Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Don't you, Kathy? Email from a very loyal listener says here, Dear Mr. Malloy, I have a question I'd like you to answer. I called last night and today. I got a bug up my butt. sounds like a CIA experiment, doesn't it? The Supreme Court case that struck down voluntary integration plans in public schools in Louisville and Seattle has been bothering me, as it is tantamount to a reversal of Brown versus Board of Education. I started contacting Democrats who voted for either Alito or Roberts and asked them to justify their vote. Here are my responses. Senator Dodd, who voted for Roberts, blew me off. Senator Harkin, who voted for Roberts, hung up on me. Senator Pryor, who voted for Roberts, blew me off. Senator Johnson, who voted for both, blew me off and hung up on me. Senator Carper, who voted for Roberts, told me to email and cut me off short. Senator Bingaman, who voted for Roberts, told the senator voted for Roberts due to qualifications, cut me off, told me at a meeting, and hung up on me in mid-sentence. Senator Byrd, who voted for Roberts, left message, do not expect a callback. Senator Carper, again on Roberts, blown off. Senator Conrad on Roberts, blown off. Senator Dorgan, who voted for Roberts, asked my question, was told peachy in a rude tone of voice, and instantly hung up on. That's when I got frustrated, and I gave up. The other Democrats are Feingold, Pryor, Landrieu, Rockefeller, Baucus, Levin, Cole, Leahy, Levin, Lincoln, Murray, Nelson, Salazar, and Wyden. My two senators are lost causes, Kyle and McCain. I was not being rude. I wanted them to justify their votes and explain to me as a registered Democrat how they believed their votes were good for the country. In the confirmation hearings, Alito and Roberts stated they would stand by stare decisis, let the decision stand, and not overturn established precedents of law. They lied. I earned my BA in political science and history, am almost done with my master's, and will be pursuing a doctorate in political science in the next 2 years. Constitutional law is my passion. You name the case, I can tell you the ramifications, the issues, and the outcomes. What can I do to filter through the gatekeepers and talk to the senators? I know how the system works, and the gatekeepers are there to keep the brainless constituents away. I refuse to bribe my way in like lobbyists and political action committees. I'm not an idiot. I'm highly educated and highly intelligent, but I get my intelligence insulted every time I call. Sincerely, Aram Katz, alumnus, University of Arizona. Thank you, Aram. It will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look. There is just one moon and one golden sun, and the smile means friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the oceans are wide, it's a small world after all. 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 These people were brainwashed. These people were part of MK Ultra. They used to be bankers, physicians, factory workers, secretaries, and the CIA got a hold of them, and look what happened. Okay, you can go back into your little rooms now. Thank you very much. It's about 9 before the hour. The Chinese, again, now it's seafood, which it should always have been. I remember when I went to my local supermarket here, I guess it was about 8 months ago, and saw packaged frozen tilapia fish, which I like. I like fresh, caught tilapia. And we usually go to a farmer's market near here that identifies the country of origin of everything they sell, including fresh fish. And a lot of the stuff we buy, because of the nature of the seafood, is from New Zealand, is from Chile, is from, where else, Kathy? Norwegian waters. We buy a lot of Alaskan, Washington State, off the coast of Washington State, off the coast of Massachusetts. And it's, you know, there is farm-raised salmon and things like that available at the farmer's market, but I wouldn't touch farm-raised any sort of seafood. I mean, it's an abomination when you check into it. But anyway, the Chinese seafood, when I first saw that package of Chinese, it says on there, farm-raised in China, I had to immediately suppress a gag reflex just to begin with. Well, in the latest move against these filthy imports from this corrupt, filthy country, the Food and Drug Administration has blocked now the sale of five types of farm-raised seafood from China because testing shows repeated instances of contamination with all sorts of bad stuff. Now, that sounds like, oh, good, good. Nuh-uh, bad, bad. The FDA said it decided to take the action after years of warnings and a visit to Chinese fish ponds. Dr. David Acheson, the FDA's Assistant Commissioner for Food Protection, stressed that the seafood from China is of no immediate health threat. Don't you just want to take one of these Bush crime family thugs over your knee, take their pants down, and just paddle the hell out of them for lying? Dr. Acheson said long-term consumption could result in health problems. Oh, God. You know, like, okay, there's mercury in albacore tuna. I know there's certain fish you shouldn't eat. That's the way it goes. But what do you think is in the Chinese fish? I'll get to that in a second. This move against Chinese seafood will have a broader impact on China than saying we're not going to buy their toys anymore or their toothpaste or their wheat gluten or everything else they, you know, just like I said when I found that box of orange juice the other day and it said it was from a concentrate raised in China, I just thought to myself immediately, well, this is not orange juice, this is orange paint that was left over somewhere and they just throw it into a box and put water in it. But China is the world's biggest producer of farm-raised fish, huh? It's also the biggest foreign supplier of seafood to the U.S., huh? Accounting for 22% of the total imports. Stop eating it! Stop eating it! Richard Durbin, Democrat, Illinois, said, quote, "The list continues to grow of Chinese imports that are dangerous to American consumers. There reaches a point where I think it's clear if China wants to live in the 21st century, then they have to produce to those standards." No, Dick. Ban them. They are evil sons of bitches, these Chinese. They make stuff up. Mr. Durbin and Representative Rosa DeLauro, Democrat of Connecticut, called on federal officials to establish a food safety agreement with China. Not during the Bush crime family. It's not going to happen. Ms. DeLauro, who is a frequent critic of the FDA's oversight of food safety, as we all should be, also questioned why the agency waited so long to act. You can guess. The banned substances in the fish, primarily antifungals and antibacterials, were used ostensibly by the Chinese to prevent disease among their seafood because, you know, these creatures are often crowded into ponds, so crowded, 10 to 100 times the normal balance. Farmed fish and shrimp become sick as the quality of the water becomes polluted by fish waste. That means doo-doo and rotten feed made up of orange paint chips. The problems with contaminated Chinese seafood imports date back 6 years. That would be the Bush crime family, wouldn't it? The biggest American imports from China are shrimp, tilapia, scallops, cod, and pollock. Although only shrimp was affected by yesterday's announcement. Monkfish are being rejected coming into the U.S. from China for being filthy and unfit to be eaten. Frozen catfish nuggets were turned away because they contained animal drugs. Tilapia fillets were contaminated with salmonella. Catfish chunks? Frozen eel contained pesticides. Channel catfish had salmonella. And frozen yellowfin steaks were filthy, the records show. Hope you didn't have fish for supper. More than 60% of the seafood tested that was rejected at the border by the FDA came from, altogether now, China! Filthy. Salmonella. Eel chunks that were dirty and half of them eaten away as if something had been gnawing on them on the trip over. Oh my God! Is that a slice of tilapia, Mr. Chinese fish farmer? No, now that you've asked, it's off of somebody's arm. You know, we execute tens of thousands of people every year. No point letting that good meat go to waste, is there? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. All right, we're going to go to phone calls relatively early tonight. So if you want to get online, 800-989-1480 is the phone number. I've got two emails here, and then we'll chat, okay? This is from Prairie 2, who writes, "Hey, Mike, the reason the Chinese catfish have antibiotics and contain salmonella is that they are raised in ponds underneath the chicken cages. The chickens are fed antibiotics and other drugs banned here because they lead to outbreaks of the kind of salmonella that will live right in the meat, not just on the outside, and isn't easily killed by cooking. They also use industrial waste in their chicken feed that even the worst Republican wouldn't think of using." Somebody else sent me an email, too, with a little bit more graphic language. Where is it? Yeah, there it is. I'm sorry, I can't say all those words on the air, but thanks. Thanks for writing. And then this one, and then we're going to go to your calls. This is from Donald in Augusta, Georgia. And Donald writes, "Mike, I've listened to the discussions following the decisions handed down by the court, headed by Uncle Tom Thomas and his four Klansmen. Jeff Toobin of CNN and the anchor Tony Harris provided the only real analysis of the dangers of the school diversity decision. Jeffrey Toobin really laid out what the ramifications could be within a short amount of time. My guess is that every pissed off, angry white male will bring suits all over the country to take advantage of this decision, and of course they will use fake attorneys from Pat Robertson's law school to represent them. As you said the other night, I am so tired of being angry when it seems everyone around is just sleepwalking through history. And by the time they wake up, it'll be too late. It might already be too late. Michelle Martin of NPR invited two African-American guests on her show to have a discussion on this decision. They had what amounted to a so-called intellectual discussion with absolutely no outrage at all from any of the panel members, including Michelle. Head Klansman John Roberts tried to use the Equal Clause Amendment to justify his decision. I'm still waiting and doubt if I will ever meet for these so-called Republican or conservative intellectuals the media says exists. If ever there were an oxymoronic term, that would be it. Republican, conservative, intellectual. These people are driven totally by greed, hate, destruction, and a twisted ideological view of the world that from FDR to Reagan, we were able to beat back. I'm going to say this again. This is what centrist Democrats like Clinton, for example, his Telecommunications Act of 1996, centrist Democrats like Clinton and Lieberman get you. Nazis on the court, who just make stuff up to support their irrational conclusions. Remember the Gang of 14. We have them to thank for the next 50 years of the diminution of, in America led by Uncle Tom Thomas and his four Klansmen. I am moving out of the South. That's the only way I will maintain my will to keep fighting and my sanity. I'm so tired of the apathy that exists here. I need to be around people who are willing to take to the streets and fight these Nazis head on, and that just doesn't exist here. As long as gay people can't marry, women can't have abortions, and they can keep their guns, these brainless morons obviously don't give a hoot about this country or their kids' futures. Donald and Augusta. I hear you, Don. I hear you. All right, let's do some phone calls, and you know, don't be draggy here. I see a couple of open lines. Let's start with who do we want to start with, Kathy? Let's start with Sarah, who is listening. She's from America, Texas. She's listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the program.
Hi again.
Oh, is this young Miss Sarah?
Yes, it is. It's America, Texas, Sarah.
Oh, that's right. How you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great.
Are you old enough?
I wanted to call.
Are you old enough?
I'm now an OPM founder.
You are.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Are you old enough to drive yet?
No, but I'm working on that. I'm working on getting my license.
Well, good for you. Sarah, you're a founding member at 14?
Yes.
Well,
and I was looking in the fine print, but I must have missed it. Is there some kind of a disclaimer that says we get to go to the same concentration camp?
Well, I certainly hope so. You'd make a good babysitter for Molly.
Oh, I'm honored. But
Sarah, I'm honored to think that you would become a Nova M founder is pretty incredible. Thank you. I appreciate it, and everybody at Nova M appreciates it. You know, you can go into the chat room now.
Yeah, I know, and I will soon. But
okay, just go to NovaMradio.com and log in and use your password, your username and your password, and watch out because I think they're painting the chat room tonight. So if you do go in there, be careful. But that's not why you really called. You called because?
Because I want to tell you that I think the reason people aren't signing up is because they're afraid of going to Guantanamo.
You think?
Yeah, but I have you're a bunch of chickens. All you listeners out there, you're a bunch of chickens. If I'm 14 and I can do it and I have the guts to sign up and risk it, you all do it. I dare you right now. Go, sign up. Sign up, become a founder.
You go, Sarah. Keep talking, keep talking. Can Kathy and I adopt you? Keep talking.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. And do I own you now?
You own, well, that plan is in the works. That Shelley, you must have been listening the other night when the boss's husband was on, right? When I was talking with Shelley Drobny?
Yeah, I think so.
Right. The plan is, they're just talking about it now, but Shelley and some of his team and legal advisors are investigating, and investment advisors, are investigating the idea of co-oping, making into a cooperative, the Nova M Radio Network. Now, it's a little bit beyond my ability to understand, but what Shelley said was people who then become founders and people who are founders now would be converted into part owners. And, of course, my question was, well, so what? If somebody has you know, they're a founder and they're kicking in $100 a year. How much say do they have over issues pertaining to Nova M? And Shelley said, It's not necessarily a question of say. It's a question of management, the direction that the Nova M might go. Well, that's all kind of fuzzy to me, Sarah. I'm not good with business ideas or hedge funds or investments or any of that stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me?
You know what I'm saying?
I do, yeah.
All right, so I'm not sure, but the quick answer to your question is if you're a founding member and they go to a co-op basis, yes, you will have a whatever it turns out to be, 1/10 of 100% ownership. It's kind of like stock, isn't it? I think. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's a bit like stock, I think.
You'll know eventually.
Yeah, I was just kidding, but apparently, wow.
What? No,
apparently I do own you.
Well, you'll own part of you'll certainly own part of the program. Say that part again about you're only 14 and you became a member and other people should do the same. Say that part again.
I am 14 years old and I have the guts to become a founder. So I challenge all you listening out there, all you cowards, I challenge you. I challenge you right now. You go and you become a founder. You crash the server, whatever.
All right, Sarah. All right. Thank you, Sarah. We got a break here. Thanks a lot for checking in, okay? And thanks for coming becoming a founding member. Take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. I love that kid. Well, all of them. All the kids who call this program, usually on youth night, are just exemplary. You know, like, and so many of them come from Texas. Matthew and Sarah, I'm from Texas. Texas, Texas, Texas. I'm from Texas. Texas, Texas, Texas. You are good kids. Thanks a lot for checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
Look at the state of the world that we live in, where no one gives a damn about the future of children. Just building a cash flow, making a bank account. Let us expose the truth. Is that what the war's about? Because I don't understand. But what kind of a man should have to sacrifice his life for an area of sin? All the turmoil's making my blood boil. Because I don't want to see our people.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I agree. I totally, totally, totally agree. Shall I talk a little bit about the bomb scares in the UK in London today? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Should I talk about Turkey is warning now of its plans to invade northern Iraq and is demanding that the United States move against what they refer to as Kurdish guerrillas? Nah, I don't think so. Shall we talk about 5 more American soldiers killed, 7 more wounded when they were hit by a roadside bomb, according to the American military? So, you know, it's probably more than 5 dead. That brings the total for the past 3 months of our people dead, 329. That makes it the deadliest quarter for American troops in Iraq since the war began. Shall we talk about the dead Iraqis? They were slaughtered today at the rate in the past 24 or 48 hours of 5 or 10 an hour. No, you don't want to talk about this stuff? Okay. I agree. It's grievous to think of the American soldiers dying. It's grievous to think of the Iraqi civilians dying. It's, but it's going to continue. It's going to continue Probably beyond the time that Bush leaves office, if he ever does, it's going to continue because the leading contenders for both the Democratic and the Republican nomination have made it very clear in their Politico speak that it's going to continue. I said the leading contenders, Mike Gravel, Dennis Kucinich, as much as it pains me to say, are not leading contenders, are they? So, in other words, what I brought up a couple of weeks ago, the number of dead American soldiers today is precisely the number of dead that we, the American people, wanted for today. If that is not so, then where are these numbers coming from? Because we are the ones who are insisting that the troops stay there. Oh, I know. 70% of us don't support the war anymore. That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. That's the answer to a survey question. Do you support the war? No. Okay. Do you support the war? No. Okay. Of course we support the war. Yeah, on some perverse level, don't email me and say, Mike, I don't support the war. Yes, you do. So do I. On some perverse level, we support the war. Why is that? Because we allow it to continue. That's easy. So, the families of nearly 3,600 Americans, when they celebrate the 4th of July, this coming Wednesday, how can we, who have not given a family member into George Bush's butcher shop, how can we not feel deeply grieved for these families? This is where I have to check out. I have to put my mind into some kind of a compartment where it won't consider this sort of stuff. This is where I'm having to do almost mortal combat when I swim my laps every day. Because, as I mentioned the other night, and as you know, if you are into physical meditation, that you reach a point where your mind kind of floats off. And I have not reached the point of being able to empty my mind. What I do is let it float, or it insists on floating, and into it rushes images of families, most often children, screaming and crying when they realize that their daddy is not coming home. Or in some instances, they realize their mommy is not coming home. Because George W. Bush and Dick Cheney murdered them. Murdered them. But these are numbers. This is anguish. This is grief that apparently I support. And it makes me ashamed. It makes me ashamed. And I think that's where some of my rage comes from. It comes from shame. Because I know. See, I know this. I can't convince myself otherwise. This is my war. This is a war, a slaughter, an occupation that I want. Because if I didn't want it, wouldn't I be doing something to stop it?
As you appear, you wish I wasn't here. Well, one day soon, that dam is gonna break, and it'll wash you away. Yeah, one day soon, that dam is gonna break, and it'll wash
you. You think the same old bug.
Got the flying monkey right blues? Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Roberta is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Roberta.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Good. You know, I have one suggestion for a brief remedy for any of the good folks out there who are feeling like they're ready to snap.
Yeah.
Due to all of this total insanity we're all forced to endure.
Yes.
I spent around 6 days in a nice, safe, quiet mood disorder unit at a sort of mental rehab hospital. Not because I was crazy, but because I was depressed. Anyway, it was so nice there. It was like saner in there than it is out here. I was actually able to reclaim, well, not all of my sanity, but some of it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we have a joke here in San Diego. This is all much worse than any bad acid trip anyone ever had. Because
yeah.
You come out of a bad acid trip, it
right.
ends.
Right, right.
But this is going on and on and on.
Well,
and
are you
no fun.
Are you okay now?
I'm fine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and yesterday I ran into two other Air America addicts like me in Target.
Yeah.
And we stirred up quite a scene in the Target store. Around 15 minutes of uncensored, loud conversation about all of the wonderful things the Bush administration is doing.
that's great.
People were
that's...
gathering around and just kind of quietly listening, pretending like they didn't care. But
anyway. I've always thought that San Diego was a very conservative town. Is that not true?
Well, you have a big following here. And, yes, it is a conservative town, but there's a lot of wonderful, crazy people here who really care about the country and the planet. So it's growing, you know. Yeah, it is a conservative town, but we've got a lot of Air America listeners here, and mm-hmm. when we have Air America parties, a whole lot of people show up, and we have a really good time.
Well, I hope you have some Nova M parties.
Well, why don't you call up and suggest that we have some of those?
That's who I work for now, is Nova M Radio.
I know you do, and I have called Air America many times, and I've said, why don't we invite Michael Malloy to San Diego? You know, why can't he be here? Can't we had Randy Rhodes here. Why can't we have Mike Malloy?
That's a good question.
And nobody ever calls me back.
No, they don't. They're very much afraid of me at Air America because I might sue them.
Yeah. Well, I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
We can only hope and pray that the Native Americans are amassing so much wealth in their casinos that they can save us all by taking the country back again.
All right. I'll write that down, Roberta.
Thank you.
And listen, I'm glad you had a good time in the, what do you call it?
It was a mood disorder unit.
mood disorder unit. That sounds like a rock group I used to have friends in.
Yeah.
Thanks, Roberta. Take care. Call
okay.
again. All right. You have a
Bye.
Good have a good weekend. Bye. Mood disorder unit?
She sounded really happy.
She did. She did. She sounded real relaxed, real happy. I like that.
I want one.
I do, too. We have a mood disorder unit here. It's Molly's room.
It's the timeout corner.
Well, no, it's Molly's room because we wind up with mood disorders. I love being a parent of a three-year-old, but oh, my God, is it difficult sometimes, huh? Especially when you have a kid. Everybody thinks their kid is just so bright and so precocious. So, you know, please excuse me. But when you think or when you have a kid that's so bright and so precocious, it's double duty. You really have to thank God she's learning how to swim. But enough about Molly. I'm sorry. Pat is calling from Fenville, Michigan, listening on Sirius. Pat, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Mike. This is the first time I've heard your program, and I'm here with a friend, Ira, who introduced it to me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're very involved in the elections here in Michigan, and if you give me a moment or two, I'd sure like to... fill you and your listeners in on what's happening in the state of Michigan.
Okay. Can you do it in 2 minutes?
I will do it in 2 minutes.
Okay, go.
Okay. The state of Michigan has paper ballots and a paper trail, as they say. And they're telling us that we can, this is what the rest of the country should look up to. Except the state of Michigan has no ability to audit those ballots. They won't let you look at it. You cannot FOIA them. You cannot see them at all.
Uh-huh.
Been a CPA for over 30 years. The only way you get to see the ballots is in a recount. I was in four recounts in the last election, 2006. and I wasn't counting the people I was supposed to be counting. I was counting the Republican Secretary of State, and I was looking at her ballots and comparing them to the machine totals.
Uh-huh.
All four precincts, those totals were running from 3 to 5.5% less than the machine less than the machine was giving her credit for.
Uh-huh.
And I gave that testimony in front of a state Senate committee hearing here just about a week ago. And they were as quiet as could be, and nothing was said.
Well, isn't it a shame they sat there quiet instead of saying, wait a minute, what the hell happened here?
Well, that's the reason I'm with you, Mike. I agree with you entirely.
Yeah, but you gave testimony to whom?
The
State Election Board?
A state Senate committee on elections.
Oh, okay. That's...
I also gave this before I went there to the 6th Congressional District of the Democratic Party, and there were about 40 people there. And the reception was completely different. After I stopped giving this these totals, the people stood up and clapped.
Really?
And they came up to me and they said, you know, I had always suspected there was something going on with our elections, but, you know, you just verified it.
Okay, now what's the Michigan legislators going to do about it?
They're going to do nothing about it. Ira and I have 3 cases in with the state police over here, completely backed up with law and video.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got election officials committing felonies. On one recount down here in Allegan County, when we were counting the ballots, they pulled the canister out of the precinct right after the election without allowing us to see any number. Mm-hmm. Usually they put a serial number for chain of custody.
Right.
And they would not give us that number. They pulled it out. They put it in the clerk's office. When I was counting with 2 other people. We observed that at least 50 of the ballots had been printed by a machine. On the day of the election, that machine had broken down in that precinct. Not one ballot was printed with that machine. What you had was a lazy person making up ballots on their own, and they used the machine to do it.
Probably not a lazy person. Probably more like a criminal. Pat, all I want to say is watch your back, okay?
We'll do that. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thanks for checking in. I hope to hear from you again. You take care. Liam is calling from Montreal, Canada. Hey, Liam, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing fine, Liam.
Hey, I was calling to talk about the bong hits for Jesus decision by the Supreme Court.
Right. Case people don't know, it's they said that a school has a right to censor drug messages.
I mean, the Supreme Court is just astonishing. I'm just curious. I mean, I'm really wondering if people are so insecure about their faith that this is just incensing to them. I mean, and where does it stop? I mean, can a student put up something that says Jesus was black?
Well, interestingly, they ruled that it wasn't the Jesus part that was offensive. It was the bong.
It was just the bong.
The bong part. Go figure. It's insane. We live in insane times. That's all. While the Supreme Court decided on the same day that freedom of speech applies to tons and tons and tons of money from special interest groups who want to corrupt and pollute and destroy our electoral system. Those people have First Amendment rights. But a bunch of kids holding up a banner that says bong hits for Jesus, they are in violation of whatever law was set out by their school. So
principal.
Right. So go figure.
Amazing. So I guess we can assume that a corporation is considered to be of age and legal to vote.
Well, when corporations were ruled by a Supreme Court decision to have the same or greater rights than human beings, that's when I knew that our democracy was finished, our form of government. Jefferson warned against this. Lincoln warned against it in an oblique way. Eisenhower warned against it. The power of corporations to destroy government of, by, and for the people is noted. I mean, it's right there. It's now government of, by, and for the corporations. There's no question here. That's what it's all about. Hey, listen, Liam, thanks. I hope you call in again, okay?
Hey, thank you very much. You guys have a...
Thank you. Take care. A break here. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Would you buy his story? Would you believe he had an eye infection?
We're going to be in a Supreme Court ruling, Gabby.
Border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself.
About 10 before the hour. Who's next? Bob the Poet, calling in from Tennessee, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Bob, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike. Somebody in Phoenix, auto mechanic with electrical knowledge, needs to get in contact with Ian and fix his ignition on his car.
Okay.
You know, somebody tried to steal his car. So
we heard. You're talking about our associate producer at KPHX in Phoenix. All right. We need a car electrician to fix his ignition.
Right. Right.
All right. Well, somebody call Ian, please, and do that. Thank you. All right.
You know what the Praetorian Guard were in the...
Yeah, the Romans? Sure.
Roman Empire, yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like the Republican Guard, you know?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, well, after the demonstration in 2005 in Washington, D.C., I couldn't sleep that night. And I wrote down a little something I'd like to share with you.
Go ahead.
Reflecting on the Guard Praetorian after walking with Cindy Sheehan, George Galloway, my daughter, her man, and a half million more on 9/24. Brown shirts, black shirts. White shirts with ties to the pack of lies that spawned another war, that tore another son from another mother, that smothers truth and clarity. That rarity, it's sad to say, seldom found today in this grand land, where to stand and speak one's mind may be to find the present-day Gestapo with a show of force at one's front door, without one's core protections anymore. A media whore will then spread lies in his disguise as a journalist. A pundit will list the reasons why a cry for First Amendment rights delights the terrorist full of hate and will make us all so much less safe. For freedom's sake, the white shirts say, we must today give up our voice. We have no choice, they all contend, and then pretend that we can be silenced and free at the same time, with censored rhyme and reason dead, living in dread, with fashioned fear, and no clear understanding why a crying mother's son must die. They lie, distort, and twist, and spin, and then dish up more deadly lies, dressed in white shirts with corporate ties.
Yeah, I know some of those people.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good, Bob. You're a good poet. I like your stuff.
I appreciate the chance to share it with you, Mike.
All right. Take care, Bob. We'll talk later. Bob ought to be in... remember when we used to go to the Green Mill in Chicago every Sunday night at 7 o'clock for the Poetry Slam?
I have one thing to say to our 9 Chicago listeners. Belmont! They will get the joke.
Had to have been there. God, those were good times. Man. Mark Smith.
So what?
He worked in the slaughterhouses or he worked in construction? I don't remember. But Mark Smith started this thing at the Green Mill in Chicago. And he claims, and I believe him, he put together the first idea of a poetry slam. It was Mark Smith in Chicago. It wasn't out of New York, wasn't out of L.A., wasn't out of Miami, wasn't out of Minneapolis. It was Chicago. And we used to go. I got up one night and read some of my poetry.
Well, that wasn't the funniest thing. The funniest thing is when you took in a stack of actual typed-up letters from your listeners. This is before email was so prevalent.
Right.
Handwritten letters from crazy people.
And just read them from the stage.
And just read them from the stage verbatim, and it was some of the funniest stuff I've ever heard. I still have a file of those somewhere.
I know. That was really funny. That was really funny stuff. I miss those days. Do you miss going to poetry slams? Every time Bob calls in, it reminds me of doing that. There are poetry slams all over the place now, of course. And they have the, I think the last year we were in Chicago, they had the national poetry slam finals at the Chicago Theater. Remember that?
I don't miss the sub-zero temperatures 9 months out of the year.
Yeah, there are two seasons in Chicago, August and winter. But it was great fun going to the Green Mill. And
this is an original speakeasy from the 20s.
Yeah, the Green Mill had, there was, remember the, there was a back door behind the stage, and then you went down the steps. There was a tunnel that went under Broadway, across the street, came up through a manhole cover or something, and when Capone and some of the boys would go to the Green Mill, if it were raided, this is the way they would, this is the way they, or anyone else who was part of the, this thing of ours in Chicago, this is how they would escape. I'm sorry, we did it again, just sitting here prattling on. Your phone calls when we come back. Stay with us. This is Nova M Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. brings back sense memories, doesn't it? Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Nova M Radio is what you are listening to. This program is the Mike Malloy program, and that is I. That are I? That is I. I am that. This is Mike Malloy. Thank you very much for tuning in. And again, on July 9th, we're going to be carried by XM Satellite Radio from 10 till midnight Eastern Time. Well, 2 hours is better than no hours. We'll see what happens, right? A couple of emails and then back to your phone calls. This is from Ron. Subject line says, they're just ignoring us. He writes, hey, Malloy, I'd like to say something to you and to that fellow who is just reciting poetry and everybody else among your listeners who were at the September 24th, 2005 demonstration in D.C. The whole time I was there, I kept getting the feeling that we were just wasting our time. There was almost nobody there but a few cops and very few media people. It was just like the whole world was ignoring us. They just cleared out of D.C. and let us have the city for that weekend and ignored us. If they held a demonstration and nobody else was there, did it even happen? We need to start making a whole lot of noise, much more than we do at events like the one in September 05, enough so that it will be impossible for them to ignore us. How do we do that, Ron? Don't know, Ron. I don't know. The power structure in D.C. always ignores demonstrations, but if that's what you're referring to, if you're referring to the American public, I don't know. Maybe if you could get Paris Hilton to lead your demonstration naked, you would get all the media coverage you could possibly imagine. And Lindsay Lohan, get her out there too. Have both of them raise money. Pay them $1 million each. Better yet, get them to mud wrestle. Douse them both with baby oil and let them wrestle inside a kiddie pool. Then, because this is the United States of America, Ron, you would have more coverage than you could possibly handle. But until the day you get these two young women to lead the march naked or mud wrestle or better yet, baby oil wrestle, it's not going to happen.
I like the person's idea. I don't remember who it was back during the Michael Jackson trial, mm-hmm. when everybody waited every day with bated breath to see if he'd show up and what he'd wear and right. if he had pajamas on and if he had a Band-Aid on his nose. And someone said, you know, what they need to do is just position some people with signs right there where he's going to pull up that say impeach Bush or right. U.S. out of Iraq or something to actually get the message out to the mass media.
Yeah, well, when Miss, who was it who just got out of jail? Hilton? All right, when Miss Hilton was released, you're right. If that long walk across the tarmac or wherever the hell she was walking down I don't know what it was, but I saw it no matter what I did that day. Anytime I turned on television, I saw it. And if there would have been somebody following her with a sign that said impeach George W. Bush, imagine the publicity. One more email here. Subject line, made in China. This is from Tim. Hi, Mike. Let's see. So far this year, China has poisoned our pets, sent us deadly toothpaste, made kerosene-filled toy balls for our children, and are killing us with chemical-filled fish. Why would a hostile nation even invest in traditional warfare anymore? If an evil empire, so-called, wanted to attack America, they could simply market us anthrax-flavored gum. And the Bush crime family would point to it as a shining example of free trade and a competitive marketplace. Tim in San Diego. Yeah, I'm just about over the Chinese. Aren't you? Aren't you? Kathy, aren't you about over the Chinese? I can't take it anymore. When I went in to buy those little boxes of fruit juice, for God's sake, for Molly, for her little camping thing, you know, just looking for 100, and I realize it's chock-a-block with sugar, at least it's fructose, but We get the no sugar added. She needs a little boost late in the morning anyway. Blah, 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 blah. And you look on the label and it says pulp in this product, or no, this product made from pulp coming from Brazil, okay, Costa Rica, all right, China, nah! And like I say, they don't use real orange pulp. They use orange-flavored or orange-colored paint flakes. These are Chinese, little devils.
And, you know, after you drink it...
Did that sound racist, little devils?
3 hours later, you just want to throw up all over again.
Yeah, that's true. No, I don't mean to make it sound racist at all. I think they are. This is demonic stuff. This is... And Zheng Zhao, Qin Tao, whatever the hell his name is, comes to the United States and sits down with Chuckle Nuts. Hu Jintao, is that who it is? Sits down with Chuckle Nuts and talks about... you know, the glorious Chinese-American trade agreements, what did they gouge us for this month? Another $60, $70 billion in trade deficit with the Chinese? And I shouldn't say they gouge us, because we're the ones, we Walmart-shopping psychotic Americans who determine that we don't care. We don't care how it's made, what it's made of. Just give it to me cheap. I'm an American. My middle name is Shopper. I'm Mike Shopper Malloy. Yeah. Give it to me. Give it to me. When's the last time you were in any of these stores? Any of these big box stores? Look where the product's made. I defy you to find something made in America. We found something the other day. Cat litter. Cat litter is still made here. By God. What else did we find the other day, Kathy? Paper towels. We still get paper towels made in the United States, but cat litter. Everything else? Made in China.
I like the coda to that story. I heard on the news something that they're boycotting some of our products that they find dangerous now.
Ooh, what are they going to boycott our real pharmaceuticals as opposed to their fake crap made out of chicken wire?
I think it was seafood.
Seafood. They're going to boycott our... They don't import seafood from us, do they? I am so over the Chinese. I never have liked them. There was something about Mao. When I found out that on the Long March he had sex with just about any peasant along the way that he could find, I think half the gene pool has been polluted with Mao Zedong's genes in China. But the Great Leap Forward and the persecution and the destruction of the intellectuals and the artists and the writers, I'm just so over the Chinese. I really am. All right, I'm digressing here. This is from Jesse in Boynton Beach, Florida. Hi, Mike. Just became a Founders Club member of Nova M. I pride myself on getting everything I need from the internet free, except my internet connection. But I'm willing to pay for the continuation of your show and Nova M Radio because I believe it is the wave of the future. Soon the media will be totally controlled by a few powerful individuals or major corporations without the people's interests at heart. I just laugh at the corporate media now and listen to you every night, and it's about time I started paying my share to keep this train running. That's very kind, Jesse. Thank you. Greetings to Kathy and Molly also. And the last one here from Jack. Good evening, Mike. I'm trying to figure out what war you're talking about. I haven't really heard anything about it on the mainstream news. Of course, my facetiousness is not meant to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to point out that if this reticent media spent as much time reporting the carnage in Iraq as they do senseless stories like Paris Hilton or Britney Spears, perhaps the Americans would be more outraged, you think? We rarely hear anything on the news about this horrific war and these young, brave soldiers who are being murdered needlessly. These so-called mainstream media wonks are nothing more than well-paid cowards. Jack.
Don't be frightened, it's American life. We got guns and bombs and man-made disease. Blood and money, religion and TV. Remember when we were bulletproof under the Empire moon. In the darkest hour.
American way. It's more of Mike Malone.
What?
Truth, justice, and the American.
You want to try it again, though?
Truth, justice, and the American way. It's more of Mike Malone.
There we go. That's good.
From Jan in New York City, Mike, 60% of our Chinese imports are American corporations that have moved to China and now export their formerly American-made products to us. Isn't free trade great? Well, that kind of so-called free trade sucks. All right, back to your phone calls. Jeff is calling from San Diego. Jeff is listening on KLSD. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it going? About an hour ago, you were saying that you were responsible for this madness in Iraq because you couldn't stop it.
Well, I think that's not exactly what I meant, if that's how it came across. What I'm saying is, as part of the American public, which is what I am, we individually, are responsible for the deaths of these soldiers, not to mention the Iraqi civilians, every single day, because I'm not doing anything. I sit here on a radio talk show and talk about the ugliness of it all, the horror of it all, but I'm not doing anything to stop it.
Well, I wanted to hopefully maybe put your mind at a little bit of ease and actually use one of your previous arguments that it is because this government that we have has completely departed from we the people and has gone to we the corporation that, you know, it's no longer, you know, you're no longer part of the equation. And it is, you know, the fact that we do have a completely corporate-driven government that is, you know, taking over and, you know, we have no power to stop it.
Well, I understand what you're saying on a theoretical basis, but remember the fourth box.
Right.
The four boxes for use in the defense of liberty. So
I forget which are all those boxes.
The four boxes for use in the defense of liberty: soap, ballot, jury, ammo.
Okay.
And the saying is, use in that order.
Right.
So I certainly don't advocate more murder and killing than this Bush crime family has already loosed upon the planet. All I'm saying is, it's hard for me, and I'm sure it's hard for you and most people who listen to this program, or who don't listen to this program. It's hard for us to be sheep. That station promo that Doran put together on KPHX that people hear, I think sometimes on the internet, if they're listening on the internet, about we're a nation of sheep. I can't believe it. It's hard for me to stand up and baa. Isn't it for you?
Okay. That's not something I do.
So while I'm not advocating anything violent, what I'm saying is, until all avenues have been exhausted, how can we say it's not our fault? The Bush crime family is supported by 28% of the American public. The Bush crime family would not be in office except for five Supreme Court justices who decided to tamper in the most blatant example of judicial activism, tamper with our system of electing leaders. George Bush would have been sent back to Texas to execute more people in his role as governor. We have had 7 years here, almost, of utter living hell. And yet, we put up with it. We just keep cruising along. We keep going to Walmart. We keep going to Home Depot. We keep watering our lawns. We keep watching the news about fires engulfing the half of the country. And the Bush crime family continues mass murder. So it is my responsibility. It is my fault, Jeff. If not me, who?
Right. Okay. Well,
that's what I'm saying. And we have not exhausted all possible remedies. There is still the fourth box. I don't know if it will be used. I hope it doesn't get used.
I'm starting to run out of other options.
I hear you. I've tried to deal with this a couple of weeks ago on this program, talking about rage fatigue, and I was just inundated with emails, 500 or 600, which is, you know, I've read someplace that one email represents about 100 listeners. So, you know, there's 50,000-60,000 listeners, and I'm thinking to myself, this can't go on. It cannot go on. You know, with this many people in the country feeling absolutely enraged about what's happening, it can't go on. We're going to have a nervous breakdown. Hey, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. Take care. We'll talk again, okay? All right. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
And I replied, bah, bah. And the anchor woman was saying, la, la. And I replied, bah, bah. Then I
give it all around. I give it in my bones. My life is on the line. When I'm away from home, when I step out the door, the jungle is alive. I do not trust my ears. I don't believe my eyes.
Here's your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Speaking of right-wing rhetoric, I got a couple of emails from some freak named Harold, haroldmarshall@gmail.com. If you want to write to him, haroldmarshall@gmail.com. The first one, subject line, Yellow Peril Lives. He writes, Mike, yes, you are being a complete racist. The Yellow Peril has been around since before the turn of the last century. What have honkies done for the world lately? You know you're wrong, so shut the F up. I expect racism from Schultz, but you really need to do some meditation or go fishing with Big Ed and not come back. America has been spreading death for hundreds of years, so we owe the world a few dead crackers. Get a grip, Harold. Harold Marshall at gmail.com. Then he writes this, subject line, Chinese products. I look at the epidemic of dangerous Chinese goods as proving what's wrong with the libertarian theory that no government regulation of business and free markets is... wrong guy. Harold wrote this. Mike, some of them Negroes been trying to sell me poison watermelons. Damn, I just can't locate any Aryan melon farmers. I tried the Klan store, but they was out. Damn them all for trying to poison Mr. Charlie. White people would never hurt nobody. Your white friend, Harold. Why don't y'all send him a message? Harold Marshall, H-A-R-O-L-D, M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. HaroldMarshall@gmail.com. Harold, go to hell, okay? Just go to hell. You're not entertaining, but let's see if enough people can email you to make you feel like you've done something. Now, the other one here is from Malachi in Saskatoon. He writes, I look at the epidemic of dangerous Chinese goods as proving what's wrong with the libertarian theory that no government regulation of business and free markets is a good thing. There's no regulation on how Chinese businesses operate, and look what we get. Whatever dangerous goods unscrupulous businessmen think they can ship to the consumer is what we get. Libertarians say that businesses will act in their best interest and not produce dangerous goods because of any potential backlash. What we see coming from China proves the lie. Yeah. All right, back to your phone calls. Who we got next? Sylvia is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico, listening on the Internet. Hey, Sylvia.
Hello, Mike. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, sure.
This is my loyal one.
Say what?
This is my loyal one. From the chat
room. Oh, my loyal one from the chat room.
Yes.
Hi, my loyal one.
The chat room where all the women are beautiful and all the men are also.
No, that's from
Cabaret.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I have a message for you from them.
You do? Go ahead.
Yes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday dear Michael, happy birthday to you. We love you, Mike. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Oh, God. That's Lake Wobegon, where all the men are smart and the women are beautiful or whatever. Who is that? Maloyal One. Happy birthday. Oh. Okay. Phil is calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Phil. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good evening, Mike.
Hi.
It's got to be a... some kind of a night.
Yeah, to follow that call, go ahead.
I was pretty blown away by just about everybody, but especially this, I guess this is like the Marshall Plan we got here. So, you know, it's not Gmail, it's garbage mail.
Is that what that is, garbage mail?
Yeah. To me it is. Anyway, I was going to mention something else, but... this thing about I was at work and I didn't know this person was of that ilk, and he got to talking with us like a, you know, like a coffee break thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like totally blown away by what he said, because when I look at the guy, it's almost like looking at a clone of Mr. S-H-I-T. That's who I
No, wait.
You know who I mean?
Wait, Phil. Philly. Phil, you can't even spell words like that. See, we're a young network, and all we need is some right-wing nutball to say, did you hear that word they used on that there Nova M last night? I've had a couple people email me about the death of Mike Webb and in Seattle. Now I'm sorry. Until people told me who he was, a late evening talk radio host for Seattle's KIRO. For many years, he was fired by that station, and now he has turned up dead. According to Daily Coast and the Seattle PI, his body was found in a crawl space of his home today. The King County Medical Examiner's Office has ruled Webb's death a homicide. And apparently, well, this is from P. Henry's diary. Webb was a loud, pugnacious liberal for several years in the late 90s and earlier this decade, one of the only liberal voices that could be found on AM talk radio anywhere in America. Well, that's not true. Not to diminish Mike Webb's career, but whatever. His career at KIRO ended in December 2005 after he was charged and subsequently convicted of insurance fraud. Sadly, Mike Webb had some very public battles with personal demons over the past few years, having lost his beloved dog not long before his run-in with the law and his firing. His first trial ended in a mistrial after jurors saw him undergo a nervous breakdown outside the courthouse. He later spent 30 days at a mental health facility. It may be a while before we know whether Mike's murder was related to his personal problems, or we may never know. What we do know is that we've lost a voice for right and justice, and he will be missed. I recommend Michael Hood's blog, Blather Watch, for extensive background and continuing coverage of the Mike Webb story. And again, I have to plead total ignorance about Mike Webb. I just don't know, didn't know who he was. Randy writes in, just want to remember progressive radio talk show host Mike Webb. It looks as though he was set up on insurance fraud charges, losing his job at 710 KIRO in Seattle, and now has been found murdered in his home. He's the only talk show host that came close to your level of passion and commitment. His death is a great loss to all who stand for truth and fairness. Could you please keep your listeners up to date on his case? Randy. Okay. Yeah, if like I say, I've gotten a bunch of emails tonight about this man, and I have to, I just have to be honest. I never heard of him until I started getting these emails. But I will. If people send me information from Seattle, I'll mention it. Sure. Absolutely. Marge is calling from Indiana. Hey, Marge, welcome to the program.
The old gray Mary ain't what it used to be. I don't get all breathy and Marilyn Monroe style. I mean, I just, I know how old you are.
Yeah, you do, don't you?
You know, you were talking before about products and whatnot made in the U.S. I think it's still made here. I couldn't get through last night. Well, I did for about 30 seconds.
Yeah, what happened?
We were all hepped up about some right-wing contortionist, and the lines blew up, and I was cut off and couldn't get back in.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, you didn't catch that right-wing contortionist?
I just let it go. Because if I think about that, I'm probably going to say something will cause me to lose my license, and I don't want to.
Well, you can clean it up. You know, the kind that are all bent out of shape and they got their head up their backside.
But what you really called in about, Marge?
Do you know that there's 39 ingredients that are made from rocks that go into Twinkies?
They're made from what?
Rocks.
Rocks?
Yeah, I got cut off from calling you last night, so I tuned in to Nightline, and they were talking about Twinkies and all the ingredients that go into making them, because they've been around for like 75 years.
Yeah. I used to eat Twinkies.
Yeah, well, so did I. Didn't everybody?
75 ingredients that come from rocks?
No, 39.
39 that come from rocks?
And that's besides salt. You know, salt is a rock, but I mean, they were talking about other kinds of rocks. And they didn't mention them all. I thought, dear God in heaven. You know, you were talking about juice and whatnot. You want to really get scared out of your mind, start reading the labels and the ingredients on some of this stuff that we eat.
No. We don't buy that much processed food. We really don't. You know, having a little kid in the house and being aware of how processed food will kill you quicker than
scare the hell out of you.
Yeah. So we don't. We try to buy as much as possible, fresh and or natural stuff. Hey, hold on a second. I hear the music. Hold on, Marge. I'll come back after the break.
Okay, don't lose me.
I won't. Just hold on. Just stay right there. Don't move. Don't move, Marge. This is NOVAM Radio.
Why am I so out of breath? The captain said, excuse me, ma'am, the species has amused itself to death.
Is that Meloyal Wynn again?
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, that's the original one.
Charlie the Archangel sloped into the room.
Thanks, Cabby.
He said I have no opinion about this.
Thanks to the crew who took care of the program tonight. Ian Huff engineered and answered your calls in Phoenix at KPHX. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. Ben Birch was a moderator at NOVAMRadio.com chat room tonight. Thanks to Mark Marshall and the militant moderators at MikeMolloy.com on the message board there. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. We're coming back to Marge in just a second. But Connie in Wyoming, Minnesota, writes, I just bought a thermo cooler from Walgreens because I'm taking a trip. I was looking for some information on the box when I saw this product was made in China. Right next to the made in China form, there was a message that reads, this product contains lead and may lead to cancer. I'll be taking the product back tomorrow. What is safe anymore? What do you trust? Connie in Wyoming, Minnesota. Nothing is safe. Absolutely nothing. Back to Marge. Marge is safe, though. Hey, Marge.
Oh, God. Contains lead. What else? You know, at this time of year, what really kicks me off.
What?
You know, it's the 4th of July and like that. And when you go out of the cashier, along the cashier, they got all these little bowls with little flag lapel pins and like that.
Yes,
they're all made in China.
Yes,
the U.S. flag.
Yeah, and you know what they're made from? They're probably made from depleted uranium.
Well, yeah, I forgot about that a little story.
Yeah, yeah.
Last night, I also watched the Gathering of the Klan.
Yeah.
On PBS.
The Gathering of the Klan?
Well, it was the debate from Howard University of the Democrats.
Oh. The Gathering of the Klan?
Well, I mean, there's a damn many of them.
You talk about Democrats or Republicans?
Well, this time it was Democrats. The Republicans come in September, I think.
I see. Okay.
And who is this? I think his name is Gavel, Mike Gavel?
Mike Gravel.
Gravel, okay.
Yes. He's a former Alaskan, representative, senator, governor?
Senator, I think, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Why? What did he do? A lot of people love him.
Really?
Yeah, they think
why?
He's... I have not seen any of the debates yet, Marge. I don't know. I guess tell me what you saw that makes
Well, this was the first time, and I saw them all together, that it wasn't a local broadcast. I mean, it was on PBS, and I
right.
could actually tune it in
right.
Without, you know, standing on my right ear.
Yes.
And it was kind of interesting. God love him. I know he doesn't have a snowball's chance, but I like Dennis's Kucinich. For his enthusiasm.
Right.
I really, truly do. And it was amazing, the people in the audience. My God, there was as many celebs in the audience as there was on stage.
Huh. Well, what about Gravel?
I hope he goes away quietly.
Really? I get so many emails from people who tell me he's the only, along with Kucinich, that he's the only really, really, really dedicated, honest, truthful Democrat amongst this group of posers.
Well, then it must not have been a good night for him last night, because, boy, he sure didn't impress me.
Really? Well, you're hard to impress.
Well.
You're a tough cookie.
He especially when he came to the line, he wanted to go back to a national sales tax. And I thought, oh, please.
As a substitution for
the income tax.
For the income tax.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
And I thought, well, you know...
Yeah, that's I didn't know he favored that. That, to me, is garbage. That's nonsense.
You know, he wasn't too impressive early on.
Yeah.
And then when he came out with that, I thought, well, thanks a lot, but I'd rather not.
A sales tax is probably the most regressive form of taxation in the country, and a national sales tax,
you think,
would be utterly regressive. So if Mike Gravel is in favor of that, as opposed to staggered tax rates, people who make more should pay more. Simply,
well, yeah.
That's the bottom line. Very
simple. The one thing that Kucinich was talking about is the first thing he did would be to get away, do away with NAFTA. And I said, hey, son of a gun. The chief girlfriend is down at the end of the line, and you want to get away with NAFTA?
You don't think that's a good idea?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh,
I mean, NAFTA is the biggest darn ripoff. NAFTA? And
sure. It's destroying the environment in every country it touches. It has driven jobs out of every country that it visits. You know, what was really hysterical is
the Trade Organization. Yeah.
Yeah, but when Ross Perot was talking about NAFTA would cause that sucking sound as all the jobs left here and went to Mexico, there was a second sucking sound as the jobs left Mexico and went to China.
Well,
there'll be a third sucking sound when they leave China and go to, I don't know, Romania or Belarus or one of those countries that are just kind of waking up from 75 years of having their brains hammered into the ground. It's awful.
The people, I don't know where their brains are, but, you know, you don't even have to do a lot of major research. Just read the darn newspaper on Friday and Saturday, you know, when they, the line from the old West Wing program, throwing out the garbage. You know, all this stuff comes out on a Friday afternoon or Saturday when
yes.
people are going away for the
yes.
weekend or having a picnic
That's
or
right.
whatever. And especially, you know, like if it's a holiday weekend and nobody's really paying attention,
uh-huh.
there's all kinds of stuff that even the so-called liberal that makes me want to throw up every time I hear that phrase, will print in the paper.
Marge, we got to go. Listen, be careful around your fireworks.
You too. Keep everybody safe and happy birthday, old goat.
Don't try to blow yourself up, okay?
I wouldn't do that.
All right,
Marge. It would make too many people happy.
That's true. Thanks, Marge. Take care. Oh, let's stop there. If you're on hold, I'm sorry. We're not going to get to you tonight. I appreciate the effort. Oh, have a great weekend. We'll talk more before the 4th of July, of course. Don't forget, Sunday is the equivalent in Canada of our 4th of July. So a tip of the hat to our Canadian listeners. And I'll see you Monday night, okay? Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio. Oh, yeah. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.